Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman, proclaiming a message of hope and freedom. Let's join Brother Bulla now for today's message.
Aloha and welcome to Free Inside. This is your host, Brother Bulla, and I am a man of God who brings the word of God to those that are incarcerated. I'd like to thank first and foremost our Heavenly Father, Keokua, for his love, his mercy, and his grace. I'd also like to thank Salem Media Hawaii and 99.5 for providing this opportunity to bring the good news. And last but not least, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Honolulu Ford, Danny Asau, and Mark Benson, our proud sponsors for this program. If you're looking for a brand new or almost new car or truck, go visit our brothers Danny Asau and Mark Benson at Honolulu Ford, and they will get you into something that is comfortable, dependable, and affordable. Free Inside is a program that is going to focus on those that are incarcerated, those that are in bondage of sin, those that are struggling and feel lost, and those who feel that they have no hope. From the years of doing ministry in the prisons here on Oahu and Arizona, I have been blessed to see healing miracles, spiritual victories, and lives changed over time through God's mercy and God's grace. I've come to realize that our prisons are filled with real people, with real problems, looking for real answers from a real God. Hallelujah. We serve a real God. We serve a living God. We serve a loving God. We serve a forgiving God. And we serve a merciful God. For those of you listening today, I wanted to set a foundation for the program, if you will, some building blocks so that everything sort of ties in together. For our references, many times I will be using the Jesus Book, also known as the Pigeon Bible, along with our New King James and our New Living Translation. I have found, doing the ministry within the prisons, that when we use the Jesus Book, it brings the Word of God in a way that everyone can understand what is being said. Like I tell my beloved in prison, if God, the Creator of heaven and earth, of all living things, who was and is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher, our bright and morning star, the great I am, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. If he created everything, including the languages of the world, you can bet your last spam musubi with the ume inside that he can crack the pigeon more better than any auntie, any uncle, any tutu you know down the west side on any day of the week that ends in the letter Y. Period. That's a fact, Jack, because he is the King of Kings. Our anchor verse for our prison ministry is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for hope and a future. You see, the Lord, he did not utter that. The Lord did not mutter that. The Lord did not stutter that. The Lord did not mumble that. The Lord did not stumble about it. And the Lord did not grumble about it. He simply declared that. So I take that verse as a promise for anyone and everyone. But let's take a look at the word declared, my beloved, for a moment, just so we can get a grasp, get a better understanding of the power of this word and this verse. You see, the word declared, according to Webster's dictionary, means one, to make known formally or officially. Another definition is to state emphatically or authoritatively. Another definition, to reveal or make manifest. And some of the synonyms or words that are similar to declared would be acknowledge, advocate, announce, claim, notify, proclaim, testify, and validate. Also, to further magnify the power of the word declared, our country was founded by the blank of independence, declaration. And if the United States were to go to war against another foreign country, our president would have to blank war against them, declare. So the word declared is a very, very powerful word, as you can now understand. And the reason that Jeremiah 29:11 is our anchor verse for our prison ministry, it is the cornerstone of hope for many that feel hopeless. It is a promise that God is in control. It is a promise that God is in charge. It is a promise that God has got your back. It's like when you're talking with your kids. You know, you're just talking with them, and in the conversation, there is something that you, as the parent, you just know without a doubt. I mean, you know that is the truth no matter what. You know. If you have teenagers, it would sound something like this. Dad, you don't know. You just don't know, Dad. And your reply is, I know. Inside, you're saying, I know more than you think I know. That is the emphasis. That is the declaration. I know. When you know something to the very core of your being, the very core of your soul. As in Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord is telling us, I know the plans I have for you. And he's not only telling us, he is declaring it. The other reason that this is our anchor verse is that the word plans is mentioned not one time, not two times, but three times. Anytime you're in the Word of God, anytime you're reading your Bible, anytime you are just fortunate enough to sit down and go through your devotions, when a word or phrase is repeated more than once, in fact, when it's repeated three times, that is when the bells and the whistles and the lights begin to go off. And if you notice, it is not in the singular tense of plan, but it is in the plural of the word plans. Brother Bula, what are you trying to say? How does that apply to me sitting here in Halava, sitting here in OCCC, sitting here in FDC, sitting here in Saguaro, Arizona, sitting here at the women's facility? What are you talking about, the word plans? Well, let me put it this way. If God says he has plans for you, then he has plans for you. If your current situation isn't the greatest, or it's where you'd like to be, pray. Listen for the voice of God, for his guidance, since he is the one who said that he has plans for you. That means he has plans A, B, C, D, all the way to Z and back, just for you. As I tell my brothers and sisters who are in prison right now, when I have a chance to go and talk with them and share the word of God, I tell them, you don't have to be incarcerated to be locked up. And you don't have to be in prison to be imprisoned. I've met some brothers who are serving life terms, and they are more free than 90% of the people walking outside the walls of prison. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, in the same breath, I want to be very clear that I understand that there are people who should be locked up. There are people that will never see daylight again. And I'm not going to argue about that with anyone, and that is a given. However, in the years of serving in the prison ministry, bringing the word of God, bringing the hope that only our Lord and Savior has, many, many people that I come across, for many times, they're just in the wrong place at the wrong time, making the wrong decision. And if I remember correctly, there's only one person ever in the history of mankind who was sinless and perfect. All we did, we just ended up putting him on a cross and crucifying him over 2,000 plus years ago. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Excuse me. That was in Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. But let me share the West Side version with you from the Jesus book. so we can all get a better grasp of what is trying to be said. Because I was hungry, and you guys didn't give me food for eat. I was thirsty, and you guys didn't give me something for drink. I went go a new place where nobody never know me, and you guys didn't say, hey, come stay at our house. I never had clothes, and you guys didn't give me some clothes for wear. I was sick, and you guys didn't go take care of me. I went stay inside the prison. You guys didn't come and see me. I like using the Jesus book. Some of us, in some of our other versions, it gets to be a little difficult to understand. The Jesus book brings it home for all of us. The Lord has put a call on the heart of all of our volunteers and pastors that go into the prisons on a regular basis. We tell our brothers and sisters that although we love each and every one of them, they are not the reason we do what we do. The Lord has placed a call upon our hearts to reach all the lost and all the incarcerated. If we only came for our beloved that come to the chapel services, then upon their release, we would not have to go back to prison. No, my brothers and sisters, the call is so much greater than that and so much deeper. It goes to the very core of our DNA, our very soul. It is the call from the Lord upon our lives. Pastor Scott Sonoda from First Assembly of God Red Hill calls it, we are part of the CIA. No, not the big governmental agency. The CIA stands for Compassion in Action. In other words, do you walk the talk? Does your feet match your mouth? Anyone can say Jesus loves you, but how many of us actually try to be Jesus with skin? Jesus came for the broken. Jesus came for the sick and crippled. Jesus came for the lost. Jesus came for those in darkness. Jesus came for the hopeless. Jesus came for you and I. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This is in 1 Samuel 16:7. Another way to have it read would be, so God went go tell Samuel, eh, no decide nothing but how he look or how tall he stay, for I don't like him. God no see things the same way you go see them. People make up their minds based on the outside, but God, he stay looking inside at the heart. In prison, especially in prison, our beloved know what it feels like to be judged by others. Not only in the judicial system, but even when they are on the outside of the walls of prison. You know how it is. People look at them. They give them the long stare. They'll give them the quizzical look. Or how's it? We just call it, you get the eye. Somebody gives you the eye. They know what's going on. When people see the tattoos they have on their arms, on their neck, maybe even on their face, many times they assume that they have been incarcerated, that they're a felon. Or it could be even something as simple as being in the line at McDonald's. When that person in front of you, it looks kind of bewildered, maybe a little confused, overwhelmed by all the choices on the menu in front of them. And, you know, people look at you, they judge you, and you know they're judging you because they give you that look like, what? You know you don't belong here. And we judge people because they're not like us. Imagine that happening at a McDonald's. Imagine that happening at a movie theater. Or worse yet, imagine that happening at our very own churches. You see, God instructed Samuel the prophet to pick the next appointed king from one of Jesse's sons, since he had 8 boys. When Jesse's son Eliab was presented, surely this would be the one that would be chosen based on his stature and his looks. Then came Abinadab, then Shammah, but the Lord chose none of them. 7 of the 8 sons passed before Samuel the prophet, and none of them were chosen. Samuel had to ask the father Jesse, are these all your sons? And at that point, they had to go and get David, who was herding the sheep. Yes, little David, the sheep herder, had to be called because he was not even there in the lineup. The dad didn't even consider David because he was so young and he was just a sheep herder. Jesse thought that one of the other seven sons were far more qualified than David would ever be. But Samuel instructed them to get David. And so they brought David there, ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And when he finally got to where his older brothers were, with his father Jesse and Samuel the prophet, immediately the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David that day forward. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You see, once again, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend what the Lord has planned for those who love him. For he himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Because God, he the one that went go say, "No way I ever going to leave you. No way I ever going to hammer myself from you." In Hebrews 13:5. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Romans 8:28. But when I look in the West Side Version, us guys notice too, God, you're going to make everything come out all good for the people that get love and aloha for him. Before time, God, we're going to make plan what he's going to do for them and even tell them already, "Come with me, be my guys." Many times, we try to do things and we fail. Sometimes we try the impossible and we fail big time. However, when the Lord calls you to do the impossible, you will not fail because you're listening to the word of the Lord. How does that make sense, Bula? Well, if you're able to write on a whiteboard or a chalkboard the words impossible, that's exactly what it spells, impossible. But if the Lord calls you to do something and you think it's impossible, well, all we have to do is change the enunciation from impossible to I'm possible because the Lord has called you. An example of doing the impossible can be found in Matthew 5:22. And I'd like to share this as it is written in the Jesus book so that we can get a full understanding of what I'm trying to share. This is in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 22. Right then, Jesus tell his guys for go inside the boat and go to other side of the lake before him. He tell all the people for go home. After that, he tell them for go. He go on top of the mountain for go pray. When the dark time go come, he still yet over there by himself. The boat now stay in the middle of the lake, and the wind was blowing real hard against them, and the waves stay rocking the boat. Early time in the morning, Jesus come by them. He stay walking on top of the water. His guys spot him walking on top of the water. They come real scared. They go yell, "Hey, get one ghost." Right then and there, Jesus tell him, "Hey, no scared. This only me. Make strong." Peter said, "Boss, if that's you, tell me if we'll go by you on top of the water." Jesus say, "Come then." Peter climb out of the boat and walk on top the water for go by Jesus. But when he see how the wind was, he come scared. And he start for go down inside the water. Then he yell, "Hey boss, get me out of this." Right then and there, Jesus put out his hand and grab him and say, "How come you trust me only a little bit? How come you think you no can do him?" When they get back inside the boat, the wind stay pow. Then the guys inside the boat go down in front of him and say, "Wow, for real, you God's boy." The word of our Lord. This is a great story because when I share it with our brothers and sisters that are in prison, there's a lot of things going on in this parable. Not the parable, but in this is an actual event. You see, Jesus had just got through feeding the multitudes. But one of the interesting things, he told the disciples to go and take the boat out on the water while he went up to the mountain to do what? He went up to go pray. Now, after feeding 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, the multitude that was there with the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, I would think that Jesus would be a little tired from performing that miracle. But he had time to go and pray. Now, as the disciples had the boat in the middle of the water, they noticed something walking towards them. And this is really interesting because at that time, you have to remember that the disciples would know every physical characteristic of each other because they spent so much time together. It's not like they would be running around the Hummers or an F-150. They had to walk everywhere they went. Now, when you walk in with someone, you have to get into a conversation with that person. So you think if Jesus was hanging out with his boys, they would be able to recognize him from a far way off. The same way that we would recognize our child, say at a football game, 35, 40 yards away, you can pick your son out on the field. Or when you're in a nursery, you know the sound of your child's cry over all the other children. But you see, they think it's a ghost, but it's not a ghost. It's Jesus. I love Peter because I call Peter my tantarant disciple. Tantarant, for those of you that are not familiar with it, is like having someone just tantarant. It's the royal horns going off. So Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, and Peter kind of calls Jesus out, like, I'm going to test him. Hey, I like come over there. He says, boss, if that's you, tell me if we'll go by you on top of the water. Now, Jesus, this is the classic what-what. One guy say what, the other guy say what-what, the other guy say what-what-what, and pretty soon something happens. Well, this is the miracle that happens. This is the impossible that happens. Jesus tells Peter, calm then. Peter climbs out of the boat and walks on top of the water for go by Jesus. Now we have 2 people in recorded history who have walked on water. But you see, what happens is Peter is focused on Jesus. His eyes are focused on Jesus. While Peter's eyes were focused on Jesus, he was able to do what was humanly impossible, to walk on water. But as soon as he started to look at the storm about him, as soon as he took his focus off of Jesus and looked at the bills piling up, looking at the attorney calls that weren't being returned, looking at the arguments he was having with his spouse, looking at why his kids don't, well, I'm sorry, I was talking about Peter, not those that are incarcerated. But we start looking at the storms around our lives and we can't realize why everything is upside down. That's when he begins to sink in the water. But as it says in the Jesus book, when he says, hey, boss, get me out of this, Peter was sinking in the ocean. Peter was falling in his trials and tribulations. Peter was getting buried by all of the things around him. And it says, right then and there, Jesus put out his hand and grabbed him and said, how come you trust me only a little bit? How come you think you know can do him? And what happens later is when he picks Peter up, Peter and Jesus go back inside the boat and the wind was pow. Once Peter went back into the boat with Jesus, the storms were pow. Once we bring Jesus back into our lives, the storms are calmed because we're with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's the story of Peter walking on water. As he was focused on Jesus, he was able to do the impossible because Jesus called him to do the impossible. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about, to obey the Lord's call and to do the impossible. Well, we're going to be running out of time here shortly, but I did want to pray before we ended the program. And I just want you to let your friends and Johanna know about our program, Free Inside, on 99.5 FM. If you want to reach me, the email is freeinside@gmail.com. Once again, the email, freeinside@gmail.com. And my phone number is 808-222-2822, Brother Bula. Let's close in prayer if we could. Let's bow our heads. Ikeakua koho'onani ia, to God be the glory. E pule ka ko. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for today, Father God. Thank you for the Ohana and the friends and those that are incarcerated that are listening. Bless them in abundance, Father God. And you always wait for us with open arms. Despite our mistakes, despite us falling short of the mark, our foibles and bad decisions, you, God, are always there with open arms. Lord, I pray for protection. I pray for provision over all those that hear this program and a healing touch to each and every one of them out there. Continue the work that you have started in all of us, Lord. Bring it to completion. Bless the word that was shared today. Bless the word that it may find fertile soil, take root, and be fruitful. You say that the word will not return void, and I pray that it is received with open ears, open minds, and an open heart. Lord, bless my brothers and sisters. Continue to keep them in your loving embrace until the next appointed time that we may be together. Lord, I just continue to ask you to keep us protected against the enemy, from the principalities of evil and darkness. We know it's not a battle of the flesh, but it's in the spiritual realm. Lord, I thank you for all those that were able to tune in today. Lord, continue to use us. May we decrease, Lord, so that you may increase. May we be more Christ-like so they can see you when they see us. Lord, we thank you for allowing us the opportunity and the privilege to call you our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope today's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. And remember, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, free inside. Until next time, may God bless you.